I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to stand back up one more time. Would you do that? You know I'm going to do that. I do everything I can to keep people from going to sleep before I start preaching, okay? So first of all, thank you for coming. Glad you're here. Glad for those of you who are watching online. It's great, great to be here. Listening to that last song, let me just make something real plain. You give me enough rope, I will hang myself. You give me enough time, I will disappoint you. Jesus will never disappoint you. I have failed in a lot of things in my ministry. There are a lot of things I wish I could do over. I'd undo some things I did I would undo. Things I didn't do, I would have done. Jesus will never fail you, never disappoint you. And so we're going to prove that today by the scripture verse we're going to memorize. By the way, if you're a guest of ours today, we memorize a verse of scripture every month. And so today we're memorizing 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. That's a go-to verse every Christian ought to know. You ready? 1, 2, 3. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Okay, you can be seated. If you ever fly, how many of you fly every now and then, at least fly someplace? Okay, you fly. There's really only one way to fly. If you really want to enjoy the flight, there's only one way to do it. Have a boarding pass. Trust me, have a boarding pass. You know, when you've got a boarding pass, you're not sweating, you're not fretting, you're not worried in the least, because you know, I got a guaranteed seat. Now, there's another way you can fly. It's not nearly as enjoyable. In fact, there really is no joy at all, especially if you're trying to get somewhere. It can be nerve-wracking, discouraging, deflating, depressing, and downright disappointing. You know what that is, right? It's when you fly standby. How many of you have ever flown standby? A standby, that means that you've got a last-minute, non-guaranteed seat on a flight. You don't know if you're going to get on or not. I call it passenger purgatory. That's what I call it. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. You're sitting there. And you're begging God. You're almost on your knees. You're unashamed. God, I've got to get on this flight. I've got to get there. But you're just not sure you have a seat. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. They may call your name. They may not. And you won't know until just before they shut that runway door. Now, there are a lot of Christians who live with what I call a standby salvation, a standby kind of doubt. It's that kind of uncertainty. It's that anxiety, that not about getting on a plane, but about getting to heaven. And I've met so many Christians, at least they say they're Christians, but when you talk to them, they think they're saved. They feel like they're saved. They hope they're saved, but they're just not sure. And I guarantee you that's true of some of you listening to me right now. That's true of some of you watching me, wherever you are right now. That's you. You say, you know, that's exactly where I am. I'm just not sure. Okay, if that's you, let me tell you some good news. I have been where you are. He's kidding me. No, I've been exactly where you are. There are some things in my life I have never, ever doubted one time. I have never doubted. Teresa loves me, and I've never doubted that from the day we've got married. You know, we just celebrated 50 years just a couple of months ago. And I've never doubted that she loved me. I've never doubted that. I've never doubted my call to the ministry. I am more sure that I'm doing what God put me on this earth for than I am that you're alive and I'm alive right now. I have never doubted the fact this is what God has called me to do. I have never doubted, ever. It is great to be a Georgia Bulldog. I have never doubted that in my life. Nobody can make me doubt that at all. But I want to freely admit, there have been times in my life I have doubted. Have I really been saved? Do I really know the Lord? You know, my staff will tell you this, Mike Daniels, he's Exhibit A. I'm ADD. Mike, would you agree with that? I'm ADDDD. I am. I'm ADD. I just am. That's who I am. Well, I am in more ways than one, because let me tell you something I've suffered in my life. Maybe you have. I have suffered what I call assurance deficit disorder. I've wondered at times, have I truly been born again? I mean, have I truly been saved? Am I truly a child of God? I don't care if I'm a pastor. I don't care if I'm ordained. I don't care if I have a PhD. Why do I think the thoughts I think sometimes? Why do I do the things I do sometimes? Why do I not do the things I know I ought to do sometimes? And so maybe you're someone and you feel like you're just spiritually flying standby. You're just not sure you have a seat. You live every day in a desert of doubt. You think you're saved, feel like you're saved, hope you're saved. You want to be saved. But if you were really being honest with me this morning, you could not look me in the eye and say, I am 100% sure that I'm saved. I love the story about a little boy who was standing by the side of the road, and a man drove by looking for directions. He rolled his window down, and he said, son, do you know how to get to town? He said, no, sir. He said, well, do you know where Route 20 is? He said, no, sir. He said, well, do you know where this road goes? He said, no, sir. He said, well, do you know what the name of the road is? He said, no, sir. Totally exasperated. The man said, you don't know anything, do you? He said, yes, sir. I know I ain't lost. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know for sure that you're not lost? Do you know for sure that if you were to die this moment, this minute, you wouldn't even get out of this building alive? Are you 100% sure that when you die, you would go to heaven? Now, again, if you're a guest of ours, we started in January. We've been in a series in a book called 1 John. I invite you to turn to that book right now. It's about five books away from Revelation. I want you to turn to 1 John. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. We've been in a series we've been calling Proof Positive. And John himself, we don't have to wonder if you said to John, John, why did you write five chapters in the Bible? He tells us. In the chapter we're going to read right now, here's what he says. He says, in fact, let me tell you why he does it. He says, here's the central purpose why I wrote these five chapters. I want to show how a person can know how to have eternal life and to know that they do have eternal life. So in 1 John chapter 5, John says, I don't want to leave any doubt that what you've been preaching and teaching and studying ever since January, this is what I have been trying to do, he tells us. I write these things to you. What things? What he's written for five chapters. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. There are a lot of things right now none of us are sure of. What's the economy going to do? Is the battle with Iraq, with Iran going to end? Are the gas prices going to come down? Will things become more affordable? What does the future hold? There are a lot of things we're not sure of. But there's one thing. I don't know about you. I know about me. There's one thing I want to be absolutely sure of. I want to be absolutely sure of the fact that when I leave this life, I'm going to spend eternity with God. I want to be absolutely sure. Now, John was obsessed with that word, no. As a matter of fact, John, in these five chapters, you know how many times John uses the word no? He uses it 38 times. Almost eight times a chapter, John says, there are things I want you to know. And what John is saying is this. When God saves you, he gives you a boarding pass. You're not flying standby. You don't have to wonder if you've got a seat on the plane or not. Your flight will not be delayed. Your seat will not be denied. Your trip will not be deterred because God does not want you wandering in a desert of doubt. He wants you walking down the avenue of assurance. Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus did not come to this earth and die on a cross and come back from the grave so you'd have a think-so salvation or a feel-so salvation or a hope-so salvation or a maybe-so salvation. He did that so you would have a no-so salvation. So I want to talk today to two groups of people. You're in this room. You're listening to me right now. There are two groups of people. The first group of people, you are saved, but you're not sure you are. You've got this nagging doubt. You just don't know. I want to talk to you. But I'm even more concerned about the second group. And that's those of you who think you're saved, but you're not. You say you're saved, but you're not. You would swear that you're saved, but you're not. So the big question that we're going to answer today is this. If there are people who are not saved, but are sure they are, How can people who are truly saved really know they are? It's a great question. If there are people who are not saved, but they're sure they are, how can people who are truly saved know that they are? Well, I'm going to give you today three ways that you can know, every believer, true believer can know, should know, will know, you have eternal life. And so here's what John is going to tell us. You can be certain before you die that when you die, you'll be in heaven. You can be certain before you die, when you die, you will be in heaven. All right, how do I know that? There are three ways you can know it, three ways I know it. Ready? Number one, we have the testimony of the Spirit. We have the testimony of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to introduce you to another word that John really loves. As a matter of fact, it's translated various ways, witness, record, testimony. As a matter of fact, in verses 6 through 11, John uses the word testify or testimony 8 times, and he's talking about the testimony of the Holy Spirit. So in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, here's what John wrote. He said, and the Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. Now, my son is an attorney, and my son will tell you that one of the most important tools of a lawyer, of an attorney, is a testimony. There's so much of a case will ride on a testimony. A testimony is simply a statement that's given by a witness in a court of law. He says, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. But that witness, that testimony is absolutely useless unless that testimony is reliable. Because if you can't trust a witness, you don't need his testimony. You don't even want him to give a testimony. As a matter of fact, lawyers have a rule of thumb. If you're a lawyer, you know this. They say if you have the law on your side, argue the law. If you have the truth on your side, argue the truth. But if you don't have the law or the truth, you attack your opponent. In other words, you try to make people doubt that this guy can really be a lied on. That's why if you ever go to trial, and I've been to a trial, I've kind of just sometimes gone to watch my son practice law, it's amazing how that one of the jobs of an attorney is to attack the credibility of the witness. They'll do anything they can to put a little ounce of doubt. Can you really believe this person? Can you really think he's really telling the truth? Because they know if they destroy the credibility of a witness, then a witness is no better than his trustworthiness and his credibility. Well, John says the witness that testifies to the certainty of eternal life is none other than the Spirit of God. And there is no greater witness, there's no greater testimony that's more reliable than the testimony of God himself. Now, you stop and raise the question, how does that work? How does the Holy Spirit bear witness? Let me tell you, three ways he does it. How does the Holy Spirit bear witness? Well, first of all, he witnesses to us. Here's what John says in verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his son. Now you think about this. We live our life every day. You do it, I do it. We live our life every day believing in the witness and the testimony of people that we don't even know. Or we don't know if they know what they're doing. I went to the drugstore this week. I picked up some prescriptions. I don't know that pharmacist. She's new. She's just started working. I don't know her. I don't know what her credentials are. When she gave me that medication, I didn't say, ma'am, could you run this through a test tube? Let me make sure I'm getting the right thing. She just said, this is what you ordered. This is the medicine. And she gave it to me. I didn't ask her to verify it was the right medicine. I didn't ask her where she went to school. I just kind of took for granted. I took her testimony. You are a pharmacist. You know what it's doing. I don't need you to break this down in chemical compounds. I know I'm getting what I'm paying for. I got in my car and drove home and never gave it a second thought and took my prescription the next day. We do it all the time. Or go back to the airport. You get on an airplane, you fly. You don't ever stop at the door and say, excuse me, how many hours do you have flying? And where did you get your aeronautical degree? And can you kind of, I'm going to give you a pop quiz. Do you know what that instrument does? You don't do that. You just get on a plane. You just assume the guy's a pilot. The lady's a pilot. She knows what she's doing. I'm absolutely no doubt she's qualified to do what she does. We take the testimony of people every single day. And all John is saying here is this. Look, you take the testimony of men. Well, how much greater is the testimony of God. How much greater is the testimony of the Holy Spirit? He goes from a lesser truth to a greater truth. He said, look, we believe people all the time that are that they're truthful. We don't even know about all kinds of things. So how we'd even have a hard time believing what God tells us is true? Because anybody can be mistaken except God. Anybody can lie except God. God, the Holy Spirit, is the only witness that has a 100% guaranteed promise to be 100% reliable. He witnesses to us. And then John says, he witnesses in us. He says in verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. In other words, what John is saying is, as you know, I've taught before, when you give your life to the Son of God, here's the first thing that happens. You don't realize it. You may not know it. You won't visually see it, but you'll know it. When you give your life to the Son of God, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. I've told you this 1,000 times. How did I know that the moment I gave my life to Jesus in the Royal Theater in Gainesville, Georgia, Mike, the moment I gave my life to Jesus as a 9-year-old boy in the Royal Theater downtown Gainesville, how did I know I'd been born again? How did I know? The kid that walked into that theater was not the kid that walked out of that theater. How did I know that? I didn't realize at the time. It was the Spirit of God telling me. It was the Spirit of God living in me saying, you are now a brand new creature. When you give your life to the Son of God, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. And why does he do that? He wants to give you that constant assurance that Jesus is who he said he was, and you truly are one of God's children. As a matter of fact, Romans 8:16, Paul said it this way. He said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let me give you one example. Mike Daniels, not only my exec, one of my best friends, and somebody I trust with my life. I believe Mike believes with all of his heart I'm saved. I don't think Mike has any doubt about that at all. And it would bless me if Mike said, hey, Doc, I just want you to know that you're saved. And I say this with all respect to Mike. That really doesn't mean a lot to me, and I don't really need it. Because the Spirit of God bears witness to me every morning, Mike, when I get up. You are a child of God. How does the Spirit of God witness? He witnesses in us. And then, not only does the Spirit of God witness to us, not only does he witness in us, he said he witnesses through us. Look at this. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. In his Son. That's exactly what happens. He witnesses to you. And see, let me tell you why this is so important. You know why some of you never witness? Do you know why some of you never talk to people about Jesus? Do you know why some of you never tell anybody how to be saved? Can I be honest? Because you don't know you're saved. You're not sure you're saved. How in the world can you tell somebody else how to be saved if you don't know you're saved? You can't do that. That's why John says, look, he wants to witness through you. And so once you believe and receive the testimony of the Spirit, guess what happens? Then the Spirit of God through you will tell you how to tell others to have eternal life. You can say to them, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you what I found in Jesus. Let me tell you how Jesus Christ changed my life. The greatest reason why I witness with confidence and boldness, the greatest reason why I can look at any man in the eye and say, let me tell you exactly how Jesus can change your life is because Jesus changed mine. I have that witness of the Spirit that I am a child of God. So reason number one, we ought to know we're saved. We have the testimony of the Spirit. John says number two, we have trust in the Son. We have trust in the Son. I mean, think about this. Everything in Christianity, have you ever thought about this? Everything in Christianity, salvation, eternal life, forgiveness, a home in heaven, everything. It all boils down to one word, Jesus. All of it. Salvation all comes down to Jesus. Eternal life all comes down to Jesus. Heaven all comes down to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And John says, the testimony that we have heard is that God has given us eternal life. And he says, this life is in his Son. So he goes on to say this in verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Full stop. Don't you say anything else. I get it. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now that is so simple. A 5-year-old kid can understand that. A little boy, a little girl can understand. But you know what's amazing to me? What's amazing to me is how simple that is. And yet there are grown adults that don't get it. There are PhDs that don't get it. Now, I want to use our president as an example of what I'm talking about. Before I say anything, I want you to understand this is not political. It has nothing to do with politics. So let's leave that aside. But several months ago, the president was thinking out loud about his eternal soul. And this is what President Trump said. He said, I want to try and get to heaven, if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. Well, a reporter asked him to elaborate, and he said this. I don't think there's anything that's going to get me into heaven. I think I'm maybe not heaven bound. Well, that broke my heart. But then, back in February, speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast, the president had a change of heart. He said, you know what? I like my chances. Here's what he said. I really think I probably should make it. I mean, I'm not a perfect candidate, but I did a blank of a lot of good for perfect people. I don't know which made me sadder. The first statement or the second statement. But then there was a third statement by one of his sons. So recently his son Eric was on a podcast. And Eric said, I just think the president, talking about his dad, he said, I just think he's too humble to say he's going to heaven. But his work to end wars would get him there. And here's what he said. He stopped so much death and destruction around the world. I personally witnessed him stop wars. And that in itself will get my father into heaven. And hear what breaks my heart. In everything they said, in everything the president said, and everything his son said, not one word about Jesus. Read my lips. Without Jesus, you got no shot. But you don't know how much money I've given to the church. I don't care. You don't know how many times I've been baptized. I don't care. You don't know how many good things I've done for other people. I don't care. You don't know how much I've read my Bible. I don't care. You don't know how much time I pray. I don't care. Without Jesus, you got no shot. None. Zippo. Zero. Nada. You have no shot. And see, here's the point. John said, look, eternal life is not a possession that you work for. It's a person that you trust in. It's just that simple. If you believe in the eternal Lord, you receive eternal life. It's just this plain. He said, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Let me tell you what that means. You ready for this? If you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, Jesus said, I am the life. I'm eternal life. That means this. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're a walking dead man. You're a walking corpse. You're just a corpse waiting on a casket. The car you drive home today is a coffin. The home you're going to is a mausoleum. So here's the question, simple question. What are you really trusting in for eternal life? What are you really trusting in to take you to heaven? Let me just give you a list. If you're trusting in baptism, religion, church membership, good works, charitable giving, belief in a higher power, you do not have eternal life. You got the Son, you got life. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. There's only one right answer to that question, and that is, are you trusting in Jesus? And you better be dead certain. Because you have the testimony of the Spirit. You ought to be dead certain because you have trust in the Son. But finally, John says, just to really nail this down, you've got one other way that you can know you have eternal life. You ready? And that is, we have the truth of the Scriptures. We have the truth of the Scriptures. Now we come to this key verse in the entire book, one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible. It's one verse every Christian ought to know, every Christian ought to memorize. We just said it a moment ago. John said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know, not have, not hope, not feel, not think, not maybe, that you may know that you have eternal life. In other words, John said, these things, that is the scripture, these things, that is the book that I just wrote, the inspired word of God. John says, we can know because of this book, we have eternal life. I heard a man say one time, I'd rather know a few things that are sure rather than a lot of things that ain't so. Well, John says, we can be sure we have eternal life, because the key word there, again, is know, not think, feel, hope. No, he said, listen, you can be as certain. I want you to listen to this. This is so thrilling to me. You can be as certain, if not more certain, that you have eternal life than you are that you have earthly life right now. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this. I am more sure that I'm going to heaven than I am that I'm standing in front of you right now. I am that sure of it. I really am that sure of it. Because I know this is not a figment of my imagination, but you say, whoa, wait a minute. But what about those, Pastor, you talked about a moment ago? What about those who think they have eternal life, but they don't? You know what breaks my heart? I have pastored thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people. And it breaks my heart to know that when I get to heaven, they're not all going to be there. It breaks my heart to know that there were people that came and heard me Sunday after Sunday and month after month and week after week and year after year, yet they never knew Jesus, never. It breaks my heart. So what about those who say, well, I know I'm going to heaven, but you're not. Well, how do you know? Well, I'm going to give you a test right now. If these four things are true of you, you have eternal life, and you ought to know it. Now just, I need you to do something. Be honest with yourself. If any of these things are not true, all these things are not true, you better really examine yourself to see where you are. So here's the four tests you can guarantee. If you pass these four tests, you can know you have eternal life. First of all, you have experienced a new birth. That's test one. You've experienced a new birth. Here's what John says. Remember verse 4? For everyone born of God overcomes the world. I've said this many, many times. Just want to ask you one question. How many times have you been born? If you've only been born, once, you don't have eternal life. If you've only been born once, how many times have you been born? If you have experienced a new birth, if you've been born spiritually, just like you were born physically, then you have eternal life. So number one, you've experienced a new birth. Number two, you express a new belief. There's a new belief driving your life. Here's what he says in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, loves whoever has been born of him. Jesus said, look, if you really believe, not in your head, but in your heart, Jesus is the Christ, he's the Savior of the world, he is the Lord of the universe, you've surrendered your life to him, you have been born of God. In other words, John says, a new birth leads to a new belief. Example, a Muslim says, can I give my life to Jesus and still remain a Muslim? Nope. Can I be a Mormon and give my life to Jesus and still be a Mormon? Nope. Can I be a Jew and still believe in Jesus, and I mean spiritually, not culturally, and still be a Jew? No. You can't straddle the fence. A new birth leads to a new belief. You believe that Jesus is who he said he was, did what he said he did, and he is what he says he is. Third, this is big. You ready? Third, you will exhibit a new behavior. Here's what John says again in verse 1. Everyone who believes, verse 2. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We will keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, here's what John says, real easy. If you're a child of God, you'll live like it. If you're a child of God, you'll look like it. If you're a child of God, you'll walk like you are. You will talk like you are. You won't just say you're a child of God. You will show you're a child of God. How do you do that? You obey the commands of Jesus. And here's the fourth test. You will enjoy a new brotherhood. He says in 1 John 3:14, we know we passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us, brothers and sisters. We love the family of God. So here's a great test. If you really have eternal life, you don't have to go to church. You want to go to church. You can't wait to get to church. Neither rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor hail will keep you from going to church. Because I love the brotherhood. I love my brothers. I love my sisters in the Lord. This is my family, and you want their fellowship. But now remember who John is writing to. Who's he writing to? He says, I'm writing to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is where you got to be very careful. Because there are a lot of people that say, well, I believe in the name of the Son of God. You're not saved, sir. If you're saying what I think you're saying, and that's all you're saying, you're not saved. So what do you mean? When you say you believe in the name of the Son of God, this is important. It is not what you believe about Jesus that gives you eternal life. It's when you believe in Jesus, you receive eternal life. That word believe in means commit to. It means to surrender to. It means to give your life to. And by the way, that verse is in the present tense. It means you presently believe, you presently have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, I say that for two reasons. You know how you can know that I believe that an airplane will get me from A to B? You know how you know I really believe that? Can somebody tell me, how do you really know that? Somebody tell me. When you get on the plane, right? If I get to the door, I've got to fly to Orlando next week. So I get on an airplane. I go down to the airport, and I get right to about to get on the plane. And I look at the stewardess, and I say, ma'am, I want you to know, I really believe in this plane. I really believe in Delta. I really believe in the pilot. Don't even know. I really believe, and I believe you're going to have a safe flight. I'm not getting on that plane. Why not? You don't believe it'll get there? Well, yeah, I do. Well, then get on the plane. No, I'm not going to get on the plane. I just said I really don't believe it. So you can say up here you believe it, but do you believe it here? It's not believe just in. It is believing on. And the reason I say that is this, because I want to cover one other area. There are some people who teach, and I don't, but there are some people who teach that if you don't know the exact day and the exact moment and the exact hour and the exact month and the exact year that you trusted Christ, you don't have eternal life. And I want to be very clear. Yeah, you ought to be able to point to some time, someplace, somewhere where you realize you were a sinner, realize you needed a Savior, you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but you may not know the exact date. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, you can know you're alive even if you can't remember your birthday. You can know that. The question I'm going to ask every one of you in this room and you're listening right now, here's my simple question to you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know whether I was saved in the past or not. I walked down one aisle when I was 9 years old. I filled out a form. I got in the baptistry, but I just don't know. Well, forget that. Let's put all that aside. Let's don't look in the rearview mirror anymore. Let's look out the windshield. Here's my question to you right now. Are you right now sitting in that chair, trusting nothing else except Jesus Christ to get you to heaven? Have you right now, can you say right now for this moment, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I know I can't save myself. I have repented of my sin. I have placed my faith in Jesus. I'm depending on Him and Him alone to save me. If that is true, I don't care what did or did not happen in the past. What matters is what's happening now. Because here's the good news. You don't die yesterday. You're going to die someday being today. So that's the simple question. What are you trusting in right now? And if you say, Pastor, as much as God knows my heart, I'm saying this to you right now. I'll tell you as your pastor right now, I am absolutely not trusting in anything except Jesus to get me to heaven. I am absolutely surrendered to Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I believe in Him and on Him alone. Everything He said He was, everything He said He did. Then I have eternal life. I don't have to worry about, well, did it really happen in that theater? I believe it did, but it doesn't matter. So, before I close, here's the one thing I don't want to do. And this is my biggest fear. I don't want to give anybody here the assurance that you have been saved when you haven't been saved. Because here's the cold, hard truth. There are some of you listening to me right now, some of you watching on TV right now, some of you in this room. You have no right to believe that you're saved. You have no right to think that you're saved. You've never experienced a new birth. You've never expressed a new belief. You certainly don't exhibit new behavior. You don't enjoy a new brotherhood. And so in a moment, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to give you a chance to nail down your salvation with the hammer of faith and the nail of the guarantee of God. But for those of you, you've been wandering in a desert of doubt. You've sincerely repented of your sins. You've sincerely received Jesus Christ. You have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Listen to me. Listen to me, and I'm going to finish. The only real basis, the only real assurance you have, I have, anybody can have that we're going to heaven, the only real assurance is this book right here. That's all you got. That's all you got. I cannot preach you into heaven, and I cannot preach you out of hell. But what this book says about you is true. So I'll give you an illustration we can all relate to. One of the most important documents that I have in my possession is my birth certificate. And why is that so important? Because that birth certificate tells me who I am. That birth certificate says that I am who I say I am. Now, Mike, one day I may get dementia. I think you pray for that day sometime. Mike, one day I may get dementia. I may forget who I am. One day I may get confused and forget who I am. One day someone may try to deny that I am who I am. But I got a certificate that says I am who I am. And you know who I am? I am who God says I am. God says, you're my child. You have been born again because this book is my spiritual birth certificate. You know why that's so wonderful? Every day when I get up in the morning, every night when I go to bed, at my age and stage of life, I'm not morbid about it, but I'll be honest with you, I think about dying every day. And as you get older, you will too. Nothing morbid about it. You just know, man, time's coming. I mean, I'm at the age and stage of life now, believe it or not, people are dying at my age. I'm going, wow, that could have been me. So you think about it. But I sleep like a baby. Ready to go today. Why, Pastor? I have the internal testimony of the Spirit of God. I have the external testimony of my faith in the Son of God who doesn't just give eternal life, He is eternal life. And then I have the eternal testimony of the Word of God that guarantees me that I have something I can never lose and I can always be sure that I have. So here's the wonderful news. You can be secure in your salvation. You can be sure of your salvation. I know so because God says so. And of that, I am dead certain. Let's pray together. With heads bowed and eyes closed. This is what worries me. It really does concern me. Listen carefully. I want to just talk to that person. And you've doubted your salvation, or you're doubting it. Or, now there may be some of you who say, well, I know that I don't have salvation. I'll deal with you in a second. But those of you who say, well, I'm not sure. I just don't know. Well, you're in one of two categories. You either doubt that you have what you do have, or you doubt that you don't, that you have what you really don't have. So number one, let's take those of you and say, hey, Pastor, I know I don't have eternal life. I know I've never been born again. I know I've never been saved. I'm going to help you with that in a moment. But even more importantly, how about those of you who deep down you know I've been living a lie? I know I've never been saved. I got baptized when I was a kid. I've memorized Bible verses. I've kind of done some things on the outside that would make people think, but no, I've never been saved. I want you to nail it down today. Let's just get it straight today. So if you either know you've never been born again, or you realize now I know why I've never been born again and why I've doubted it, because I've never been born again. Would you just pray this prayer with me right now? Just right now. Would you say, Lord Jesus, today, this moment, I ask you to come into my life. Your word says, if I have you, I've got life. So I'm repenting of my sins right now. I'm asking you to come into my life. I trust you and you alone to save me. I surrender my life to you as my Lord. I believe you died for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe you're alive right now. So Holy Spirit of God, I receive you into my life. Change me. Cleanse me. And may I the rest of my life not just say I'm a believer, let me show I'm a believer. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, pray the rest of it right now. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you that I have now done all that you've asked me to do to be a part of your family. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and you meant it, raise your hand right now, real quick. Raise them up real high. Let me see. Okay? All right? Let me see. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Hey, I did that. Yes, sir. Anybody else? All right, put them down. If you raise your hand and you ask Christ to come into your heart, I want you to do something. Several people did this last week. There's a table out in our lobby. It's called Next Steps. I'll be at a table too. Just come to one of those tables and just say, hey, today I gave my life to Jesus. Today I trusted Christ as my Lord. Something like that. We'll take it from right there. Now, how about the rest of you say, you know, Pastor, I really do believe I've been saved. I really do. But I'm tired of doubting. And I just want to nail it down today. I just want to do that once and for all. Because at least today I can always point back and say, okay, I know this day was my spiritual birthday. Then would you just pray this prayer with me right now? Say, Lord Jesus, this moment, if I never have, doesn't matter, but this moment, I ask you to save me. This moment, I surrender my life to you. This moment, I confess you as my Lord. This moment, I repent of my sins. This moment, I give all that I am to all that you are. This moment, I did that. If you did that, you walk out of here today doubting your salvation. Now, I'm assuming you're going to live like you're supposed to live. But if you walk in here today and still doubt your salvation, that's on you. Because what you're basically saying is, I don't believe God tells the truth, but God can't lie. But I want to be careful, and I'm going to close when I say this. If you're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing, or you're not doing things you ought to be doing, you can't walk out of here and live the same way and believe, well, I now I know I'm saved. No, you're not. Because God will change you. There's some of you here. You've never been biblically baptized. You say you're a believer, but you've never been biblically baptized. Why would you have? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. The first command Jesus gives to a Christian is to be baptized. That's the first command. Why would you think you're saved if you won't even obey that one command? You're even starting off already wrong. There's some of you need to go to that table today and say, you know what? I've been saved, but I've never been biblically baptized. I need to do that. You need to do that today. So, Father, my prayer, like I've never, ever prayed before for a message I've never preached like this, please don't let your word return void. Let it accomplish what you please. Let it prosper in the way that you sent it. And, Lord, my prayer is that not one person would leave this building, not one person would leave that computer or that television without knowing and knowing that they know they have eternal life. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.